It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was as good as I've ever seen him thread the line and walk the line of throwing on time, because the concept or the coverage determines or says I got throw on time, and then cutting it loose or making a play or a second reaction because something's not there and whatnot. And so the receivers stepping forward that we've talked about, the Josh Palmers and the Keon Coleman's, was absolute big time. And shout out to Ed Oliver. So it was fun football to watch back. I know that.
That it was. That's Dan Orlovsky talking about the Bills win over the Ravens. He mentions Josh Palmer, didn't bring this up in the first segment, meant to get to it early on. Maybe you saw this. There's a story in Fox. So Henry McKenna of Fox Sports, NFL on Fox, posted an article he wrote about the anatomy of a comeback and Bills and Ravens. And in here is a little nugget from the sidelines where he talks about interviewing Josh Palmer and Khalil Shakir, or during the first half, he relays a story that Palmer went over to Shakir and said this, or maybe he caught this. It doesn't exactly, I don't know how he got this. The article just reads, during the first half, as the Ravens racked up the points in the Bills, new receiver Josh Palmer walked over to teammate Khalil Shakir. Quote, okay, so when do we normally start to pick it up? You know, like the Bills I've been watching, end quote. So Palmer goes to Shakir and is like, when do we normally pick this up? And Shakir says, usually towards the end of the second half, we've got 17, end quote.
When do we start to pick it up?
When do we start to pick it up? And Shakir says, usually towards the end of the second half.
Uh-huh.
Which, it's kind of funny. That's a lighthearted way to talk about how yesterday our whole conversation on the show was basically about, you feel like they should have a little more end of the second half in the middle of the first half, right? Like,
right.
You think you should pick it up. And if you're someone that, you know, watched that game, and of course, it's one of the best experiences you might have had at Highmark Stadium, but you walk out and think, man, I feel like they really made it a lot worse than it had to be. They had to dig themselves out of this grave because of what happened earlier in the game. And here's Josh Palmer with the, like, Josh Palmer is all of us, is the meme or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Hey, for my first day here, when do we start to, you know, chuck the ball all over the place and score the points? Oh, soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Shakir says. So, anyway.
Let's say they had done that. How would the game have gone differently?
It's a good question.
Because they weren't stopping Baltimore. So nope. It just would have been, 51-48 instead of 41-40? Like, we might have got more points.
Maybe.
But we can't get many more than you got. I would have liked to see them go faster earlier. Like, okay, this isn't going to work. We got to keep up with them. This is a shootout. We need to realize we're in a shootout, and we need to play that way. And they didn't until the second half. But if they had figured it out, like, after their first punt, and Baltimore just scores again, and it's like, man, how are we going to stop them at all today? And they go, all right, let's unleash. And it works. Do we get, like, it was almost this, but is it the Ram-Chief game from 5 years ago?
54-41.
Yeah.
54-51.
Like, it very well could have been.
It could have been. It could also be, the game I think about for that is Bills-Dolphins a couple years ago after the Dolphins scored 70. That game started, touchdown, 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 punt, and then
it was over.
It's over.
Yeah.
You create a pressure for one of the teams to keep up. Both teams feel pressure, and ultimately who blinks? And then, like, all right, game script goes off, and, you know, you might be good to go. Anyway, if we're nitpicking that game, that's what you're getting at. And we'll hear from people today. Maybe Josh Allen's got something to say about the fans leaving, which, I don't know, you and I left the game. Not because they were losing, but because we get up. Yeah. And I had to get home. Like I my plan was to leave at halftime regardless. And when I left it, they weren't down 16. I wasn't giving up.
Same.
They're down 7, and I have to go home, which was disappointing, but I did that. I wanted to do that. So I don't know exactly what the look of it was in the stadium. I heard Sal in the Extra Point Show talking about people leaving early. And I have the same interpretation Sal does, which is just leave people alone, you know? Mm-hmm. It's late. It's a Sunday night, and there's 6 minutes left, and it's not just any old traffic. Traffic at that stadium can be a disaster. It can be really difficult. So if a person makes a decision, not saying I don't really believe in Josh Allen, but I'd like to get home with the opportunity to sleep 4 hours instead of 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we live in a time where when you're walking to your car, you can watch the game on your phone.
Right.
You're not leaving in 1991.
Yeah.
I'm still going to watch because I think Josh Allen.
I mean, someone called us this week that did that. Somebody I talked to this week did that exact thing.
What's that?
Like left the stadium and then watched from their phone.
I did that.
Yeah. It was you, right?
I did that. On the drive home, I'm not driving and watching, but my wife and I, like, the game's on the phone, I'm good to go. I can know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to miss anything. I don't know. I feel like the getting after people.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing where you win a game in week one, you're like, oh, congratulations, it's week one. They didn't leave a playoff game. They left week one at midnight. That game was late. I don't know. I feel like the getting after people for leaving is a little tough.
They're being empowered by their quarterback saying it, though, aren't they?
That is true. I heard a guy call the afternoon show a little bit upset, a little bit turned off by it.
By Allen saying it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. He won't apologize for that today, will he? Will he talk about it at all?
He definitely doesn't need to, and maybe he said...
Well, because he's in the heat in the moment after the game, and if that's a non-Josh Allen Buffalo athlete, that could come across much more as, what are you taking a shot at the fans for? Have a little faith next time?
Like,
no, you don't need to say that. But it's Josh Allen, so, you know, that fan might if another player says it, like, hey, leave me alone, like, let me do what I want. Josh is like, oh, I'm sorry, Josh. Like, I won't do it again. Like, there's much more of that attitude, I think, when it's him saying it than others. I don't know if he'll even be asked about it today.
He might. He'll have a good answer for it if he was. And, you know, he'll flash a smile and I'll be like, yeah, he's probably right. Fine, I won't leave next time.
Right.
He's good at that. Anyway, 803-0550 is our phone number and 1-888-550-2550. The Bills and the Jets.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Fields. It's going to be I would say this about the defense, and my thought on the game going in this week will be if they get just absolutely crushed on the ground again, this time by Breece Hall, who ran well against the Steelers.
He was great. I think he led the league in yards over expected in week one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and the Bills' second level is not up for it this week to fill, then we could have a conversation about it. Joe Marino, so his All-22, I mentioned we're going to get to Joe Marino at 8:30. He put in on a couple plays. One, we had a caller yesterday say that they thought Taylor Rapp looked like he was playing to not get hit. And Joe effectively said the same thing. Like, it looked like maybe he was a little timid out there. Well, I'll let him say exactly what he meant coming up at 8:30, but there's that. Then there's the play where Dorian Strong chases down Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, long break. Henry gets out the gate. It's not a touchdown. He tracks him down. On that play, Cole Bishop is just as passive as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bishop's job. It's a run play. Get up there and, you know, I mean, I wouldn't do this because it would be insane to think about. But you got to run up there and you've got to absolutely hit Derrick Henry to the ground. And Bishop just waits. And he's, by the time it all happens, he's flat-footed, he's got a blocker, and Henry is out the gate again.
Yep.
So, like, you had multiple examples of Bernard and Bishop and Rapp not up for this challenge. Right.
And I don't know that the Jets have the same chops in this department. They don't have Henry. But they have Breece Hall. And
he's good.
He can erase an angle. He's fast.
Right, he's going to do it differently. Right, he's going to do it with elusiveness more so than just, oh my God, here comes a freight train heading straight for me. Maybe Bishop's more. Is he afraid though of Henry? Like that was kind of what that sounds like. Because is Breece Hall coming through the gap and he's being more aggressive because he knows like, oh, I got to do is get a piece of this guy.
Yeah.
Versus this is a player that earlier in the game was thrown to the center of the earth by Derrick Henry. So. Is that the timidness that he's showing in that moment? Is I've already been hit by this dude today. Like, here he comes. And by the time you even do that for a second, he hits you flat-footed. Breece Hall is 5'11", 200 pounds.
Very different.
Like, go run at him.
Yep.
So I would expect that play to look differently against this running back. He might still get beat. Hall would just do it differently. I think he might make him overextend or whatever. Like it could still be bet. He could be beat, but I think it would happen differently.
803-0550. Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make it clear. I'm not one of these people, like, you know, the sky's falling. Our run defense is terrible. We played probably the best running team in the NFL on Sunday night. And they were, without their fullback, you know, otherwise, they were completely healthy, right? So
without their fullback and without their best tight end.
There might be a difference. Yeah, exactly. So they're only going to get better if they get healthier, but we know how it goes in the season. There's injuries that happen. So that's a different story for a different day. My thing is this. You know, you guys are going to have Joe Marino on later, and I absolutely love the way he breaks down Bills film. I'm one of those people that just I suck it all in because I appreciate the nuances of the football game. And the one, though, I don't know if he's going to touch on this, but the one thing I really want to hear if he breaks down is the play of the defensive line. It's their job to make sure that the offensive linemen don't get to the next level. So if that's what was failing the team, let's just say the defensive linemen weren't doing their job and keeping their linebackers clean, maybe that's why Henry was able to run all over us. But one idea that I've heard, right, it's not my idea, so don't bite my head off, is if we cannot fix this run defense, is the possibility of trading for Justin Simmons. I know that, you know, he's one of the premier defensive.
You mean Jeffrey Simmons, right? You mean Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans?
Jeffrey Simmons. Yes. I'm so sorry. Yes, Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans. He's one of the premier defensive tackles in the NFL, and I don't know what it would cost. I know we restructured Deion Dawkins' contract before the season started. I don't know how much cap that created. I trust Brandon Bean. The cap is just – it's a fake number, to be honest. If you have a GM that just knows how to manipulate it, just get something done. Like, I would love if they can do something like that if we can't fix it with the group of guys we have right now.
Well, I don't think they can do it because of cap reasons. Like, I think immediately, like, the idea gets shut down. I'd love to have the player, but he has a cap hit that I don't think they can manage. Like, it's the same as what Hendrickson was.
$22 million cap hit.
Yeah, like, they can't do that.
And,
so,
you know, if you want to talk about...
Even with a restructure?
You got to have the $22 million first.
Yeah, if the $22 million in space. The other thing is, if you're looking to do this, I just don't think who trades a premier defensive tackle midseason. Who does that? There's a point we made here about the Micah Parsons trade. When the Cowboys trade Parsons, isn't it pretty much thought that they only dealt with the Packers? The Eagles made an offer that might have been better, but they didn't call them back.
Right.
If Parsons was available on the open market, teams could have rearranged their entire offseason to make it happen.
Right.
Instead, he gets traded in August. And right. Or is it even September?
September
1st? Right. Whatever. He gets traded so late, there are a limited number of teams that can do it. And if you're the Titans, let's say you were even open to the idea of trading Jeffrey Simmons, who you drafted and just signed to a 4-year, $94 million contract extension because he's one of the premier defensive tackles. Mo, what I would say is if you're looking for reinforcements on the defensive line, I think you should look about 25% as expensive. Is there somebody out there making $7 million?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody out there, I don't want to say a free agent. I'm going to go back to Linval Joseph. And I'm also not even sure that that's the position we should be talking about. There, you have two young players that give them some time, Sanders, Walker, right? I've got reinforcements there. I've got Jordan Phillips on the practice squad. I've got Ogunjobi
maybe ready to come back in six more weeks
yeah.
because of the bye. So of all the positions on the team, I actually think I have reinforcements. It's a matter of getting them ready for January. And to trade for Jeffrey Simmons, if you were to do that, you are then doling out a monstrous contract extension, probably, because he has an out on this year's deal. The Titans can get out if they want to. They probably won't. But, I mean, he's 28 and a premier defensive tackle. You just don't trade for that guy in September, I don't think.
No, I mean, what you'd hope for is, I'm trying to find the stats on this. I saw stats yesterday that, like, when TJ Sanders and Deion Walker didn't play much. Like, it was like 13 and 15 snaps. But in those limited snaps, the numbers Henry had, like, three of his big runs came against those two okay. while they were out there on the field. And Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones played at higher rates than they normally do, like what their normal average is. And I wonder if a lot of that on Sunday was not just that Oliver was having a great game, it's, well, if we can't trust these rookies right now.
Yeah.
Or at least not in this game against this team. It's a tough challenge for them right out of the gates. But you got a lot of Jones and Oliver in that game, and I wonder if it was just the two rookies were not up to it in week one.
So I think you're more likely to give those guys like 3 months
right.
than you are to just jump ahead of them with a whale.
I think so.
We got to get a break in. Sal at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on this conversation. Thanks, Mo. We're not going to bite your head off. I mean, hey, all ideas are welcome.
I love the player. I would love
all ideas are welcome. Yeah. We'll talk about the feasibility of it. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. When we get back, the best nickname in sports has been born. I can't believe how good it was. There will be costumes. There will be theme songs. There's a franchise worth rooting for.
Wow.
Because of one nickname that was sitting right in front of our faces.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.